Welcome into another edition of the Dana and Victory podcast, only available on musketeerreport.com. I am Rick. Dan is in the building, as is Snow. They're in some building. I don't know what building. Not the same building that I'm in. But it's the Big East Tournament preview edition. We're going to give you a little primer to get you ready for tonight's game and the rest of the tournament. We'll go through this stuff pretty quick. I guess the first thing to start with is Tyreek Jones. He traveled with the team. I can't imagine he's going to play in this game, and I don't think he'll likely play for the Big East Tournament. Snow, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess Xavier hasn't technically ruled him out, but, like, his brain was literally leaking out of his ear onto the floor at Allstate Arena or whatever, State Farm, whatever arena it is called now. Like, I don't see how you get cleared from that in 4 days or 5 days, whatever it's been. So even though Xavier hasn't ruled him out, personally, I'd be surprised if he plays in New York.
Dan, how much does that worry you?
For this game tonight against DePaul, not that much. I think going forward, and actually against Butler, it doesn't worry me that much either, because frankly, every time Tyreek came into the game, the second game against Butler, he got completely torched on ball screens and lost his man. So I don't know how much he would have played against Butler anyway. So I'm not really that concerned. I guess I might be a little bit more concerned about DePaul, just because at least the way the game was called in Chicago on Saturday, like, everybody was in foul trouble. All the big men were in foul trouble, and Xavier's post-depth was able to give them a little bit of a leg off. But ultimately, I mean, he played 16 minutes in the previous game, and that was with Rasheed Gaston perhaps having his minutes limited for unknown reasons. And so I don't really see it as that huge of a deal for the Big East Tournament. They just need him to get right, because obviously he can be a useful player, and they would certainly want him for the NCAAs next week.
Obviously, we just saw them play this DePaul team on Saturday. I thought the big takeaway from that game was that, one, this team isn't dead. They were still going to fight and compete, which I guess was a good sign. And then, two, the use of the zone defense. I wrote it in my matchups article today. They played out of the 66 set possessions that DePaul had, Xavier was in zone for 50 of them. And they did a pretty good job of that. So I imagine we're going to see a lot more zone tonight. Other than that, do you have any other takeaways from Saturday that something to look for tonight, guys?
Like you said, Rick, I think the biggest thing is Xavier played hard on Saturday. It wasn't always well, but they played hard,
right,
which they did not do against Marquette. Trayvon, I don't know what planet he was on against Marquette, but he had no interest in playing basketball that night. So I think in some respect, mentally, they brought it back together, and that was the most important thing for this team.
I agree 100% with Snow. The other thing I thought was good against DePaul was that even though Xavier's their numbers for the whole game weren't great from three, they at least hit 10 of their 29 attempts. 34% is nothing to write home about, but it's a damn sight better than some of the displays they've had this year, particularly in the second half when they really needed some three balls to go down. They got them. Malcolm Bernard gets a lot of opportunities against DePaul. Just the way they defend, he seems to find a lot of opportunities, especially for those wing threes. He had 7 attempts, hit 3 of them. Trayvon, 4 for 11, including a couple at the end that were just daggers. I think the effort thing is the biggest thing. Xavier really committed defensively. They played hard. It was a scrappy game at times in the second half. There were some times at the beginning of the game where it was unclear whether they cared, but they did bring it together, and they got the job done on Saturday. Unfortunately, because of the way that they played against down the stretch against Butler and the way they played against Marquette, now they got to do it again. And I think that's the biggest thing is now they're in this must-win game for a second time in 4 days against the same opponent.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think it follows a very similar script to the first two games, and particularly the one we just saw on Saturday. I think the only way I see this playing out in a DePaul win is if they just shoot really well early and force Xavier to, you know, Chris isn't comfortable sticking in the zone with them shooting well early, and then they come out and play man, because they definitely gave Xavier trouble off the bounce with Eli Kane and Billy Garrett. Those two guys kind of torched the man-to-man for the first several possessions on Saturday, and then Xavier went to that zone. So that would be the one thing to look out there. In terms of what the Xavier team has for the rest of the Big East tournament, where are you guys at with this team? Personally, I see them beating DePaul. I don't think they beat Butler. I mean, I just don't think they have the horses at this point with what we've seen from this team, not just since Edmund's gone down, but since they kind of hit that rut where they went through the big losing streak. They just haven't been quite the same team. It's great that they beat DePaul twice in a row, theoretically. I don't think that really does a lot for you against Butler. I think it's probably a two-and-done trip for the Musketeers.
I'll go on record. I think they'll beat Butler. Assuming that I think if they win tonight, they'll beat Butler. I just don't see JP and Trayvon losing three times to Butler in 1 year. Those guys don't want that.
I've seen this
Xavier script play out before. Like, they play like crap and then rally in the conference tournament when they need it. I've seen it happen too many times.
Are you guys hearing that, like, roar thing?
Some like lawnmower came right by my place.
Oh, I was so confused on what was just going on.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Snow's pet lion came into the room.
Yeah, I have no idea what you said other than Butler would lose to Xavier, Snow, but what do you think after the Butler game? Do you think where do they go from there?
Hold on, I'm coming upstairs where it's not going to be as bad. I didn't know that they were about to cut the yard.
This is good radio.
Well, you can edit this
out. Who cut the yard anyway? It's the first week in March.
Where do you live where they cut the yard in March?
It's not my fault. I'm not in charge. All right. I'll go on record as saying I think Xavier beats Butler. I've just seen this play out too many times before. Xavier plays like crap going into the conference tournament. They know exactly what they need in the conference tournament, and they get it done. Also, JP and Trayvon, don't see them losing three times to Butler in the same year. I think it's a good matchup for Xavier. I think they beat Butler.
I think it's competitive. I mean, I'm not willing to say that I think Xavier will beat Butler. I think to a certain extent how tonight goes is going to decide that. If Xavier wins by 25 tonight and a lot of guys get on track and they play well together and they build some confidence, then I could see tomorrow Xavier having a really good chance. I hear what Snow was saying. I think Xavier has played Butler really tough in both the regular season matchups. And, you know, at home, they had them in a really favorable position. They fell apart down the stretch. And maybe if they can get back into that position at MSG, where Butler has been terrible since joining the Big East, where Xavier has been pretty good, maybe X can overcome that obstacle. But the funny thing is, Rick, that the other quarterfinal on that side between Creighton and Providence is about a dream matchup for Xavier. So you kind of think the teams that you would see in this bracket that would give Xavier the most trouble are all on the other side. So you could almost see a situation where Xavier can get past Butler. They're in another almost 50-50 game against the winner of Creighton and Providence, two teams that they have split with this season. And played pretty tough against at least for large sections of both games. So I think there's opportunity here, but of course it's tempered by the fact that if they go out and lay an egg against DePaul, their season's over. So
I'll say this: I don't remember everything about the 2015 Big East tournament due to about 96 straight hours of intoxication, but it is set up exactly like the 2015 Big East tournament.
I agree. I mean, it does set up well matchup-wise. Transitioning from that, give me your kind of final thoughts here, wrapping up on where Xavier stands in terms of what they need to do. I mean, I've been pretty consistent. I've said it the whole time. I think as long as you avoid the bad loss to DePaul, Xavier's resume will almost certainly get them into the tournament. That may make them a first four game playing in Dayton if they don't win against Butler the next night. But I think they're definitely in if they beat DePaul. If they lose to DePaul, I think there's a good chance they fall out.
Yeah, I would say a very good chance if they beat DePaul, they're in and probably first four-ish. Obviously, if they beat Butler, I think you're talking 8, 9, 10 range, probably more 9, 10 range. If they lose to DePaul, I think they're out. And I think it's actually like a rule. you lose to DePaul to end your season, you're not allowed into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, if it's not, it should be.
I don't disagree with that. I think you guys are exactly right. I am a little bit more optimistic that Xavier might be able to avoid the first four if they do beat DePaul and then lose to Butler, especially if they don't get completely whitewashed by Butler. Xavier's resume really, and I know what the bracket matrix says, and I know where the experts are, but Xavier's resume really is not that different than, well, we'll throw out Marquette because Marquette swept them, but is not that different when you look at the computer numbers than Seton Hall, than Providence, than Creighton even. And I just don't know that they're going to take a huge hit. And there seems to be this assumption, part of it fueled by the Big East themselves, which is the dumb thing, that Xavier is clearly the seventh best team in the league. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily true. I think there's a little bit of recency bias at play there. But I think the most likely outcome, if Xavier does beat DePaul and then loses to Butler, I think the most likely outcome is they're going to play in Dayton. I think it's just an easy thing for the committee to do as well, because if Xavier plays in Dayton, it's not the, you don't hear all the woe is me stories about how Nevada Reno had to fly 2,200 miles east to play again on Tuesday night and then 3,000 miles back to the West Coast to play on Thursday. With Xavier, it's pretty convenient. They can bus up. They can go from there if they win. I just think it's an easy decision for the committee to stick Xavier there, just the same way as it was 2 years ago to put Dayton there, and the same as it was 3 years ago when Xavier was there the last time. So I think
you
a win tonight.
You just went full conspiracy theory.
I told Rick, I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm going full Cronin. No, that isn't true. You never go full Cronin. That's a rule.
If not, it should be.
But let me ask you guys this, like, because I've been kind of thinking about this myself at this point. Let me set this up, because basically the question I'm going to ask you guys is just sort of, what's your assessment of Xavier's season as a whole at this point, and what would it take from here to make it a success? So I was watching one of my favorite movies a couple of weeks ago. It just popped into my head this morning, and that's Apollo 13. You guys probably remember that movie. And it's like, and the movie, for those people that don't know, is about this NASA mission in the 60s. It was supposed to go land on the moon, and it just had problems from jump. They're, like, one of the astronauts got sick beforehand. They had all these mechanical problems. And then there's a point, like, two-thirds of the way through the movie, where these guys, these astronauts that have planned forever, they realize, you know what, we're not going to get to the moon. We just have to make sure that we get back without dying. And I kind of think this Xavier season has followed that same arc, where you started with these high hopes, and then it's just been Murphy's Law. And now at this point, it's like everything bad has happened. And it's like, what can you do to get the plane on the ground safely at this point? So what, from you guys' perspective, makes this a successful season for Xavier?
I think the good thing for them is after that prolonged stretch of losing where everything sucks and no one wants to be there and everything else, you kind of get a little rebirth, a refresher on your season when you enter the postseason, right? You get on the plane, you go to New York, then you go to NCAA tournament game. It's all exciting. It's all fun. If you win a couple games in the Big East tournament, I could see this team regain kind of a toughness and an excitement that I think they kind of lost during that losing stretch when, you know, they knew they were dealing with some injuries and just didn't handle that adversity all that well. So I think that it's possible that they could still make this season a success. And to me, what that would be is getting to the second weekend of the tournament. Because that, I mean, to me, that's always the goal. Like, it needs a lot of luck to get to a Elite Eight or a Final Four or a national championship. But most of the time, I feel like you can control getting to the second round of the tournament based on matchups. Xavier obviously didn't get the matchups to play out in their favor based on how the regular season went. But if they get to that second weekend through this draw, then I'd still think you'd have to say it's a success.
I would say winning a game in a tournament would be a success. I mean, when you lose Edmund and Miles, you can't still have that second weekend dream. I mean, realistically, it's probably not going to happen. So I'd say,
sure,
win one game in the tournament. You know what? You had a good year.
Yeah, I agree with the changed expectations.
I think I'm with
you.
Did
you listen to the question, Rick? Did you listen to Dan's diatribe at all?
Yeah. I did. I'm saying if the goal is to still be a success like it was at the beginning of the year, then you would need to get to the second weekend of the tournament, and they could still do that. And I don't think the regular season would matter all that much to fans. But to Dan's point, I agree. At this point, they're probably more in mode of just make the tournament and hopefully we win a game.
I think I'm with Snow, though. I think that if, like, let's say Xavier was to get in as a 10 seed, which I don't think is outside the realm of possibility. Like, if they could win that first round game and then, you know, get a matchup with a marquee team and just leave it out on the floor, I think that'd be okay. I think I would be perfectly at peace with that, given the adversity that they faced this year and given kind of the unprecedented, probably not the right word, but, like, at least in recent memory, unheard of struggles that they've had this year. I mean, it was their longest losing streak in 35 years as a program. They were at risk of finishing with a losing conference record for the first time since I've been alive. There were a lot of things were really off the rails, and so I hopefully that the Paul game is kind of that icebreaker that stops that slide, that momentum, and gives them the opportunity to build a little bit. But, you know, they could go out and start 0-for-12 from three tonight and be down 15 points at halftime, and their season could be over, and it could be a complete disaster. So it's obviously a lot of it's dependent on what happens tonight.
Without question. Anything else to add before we wrap this death podcast up?
Well, I do want to mention one thing. I want to mention two things. First of all, as some of you may know from Twitter, I had to cancel my trip to New York, so I will not be there recording podcasts with Rick on site. But we are going to attempt to probably, I mean, especially if Xavier wins tonight, we'll probably attempt to touch base after the Butler game. So I'm just going to be too busy tomorrow. But after the Butler game, especially if Xavier continues into the later stage of the tournament. And then finally, I mean, let's not leave out the elephant in the room. How about the NKU Norse and their victory in the Horizon League Championship? Rick, I credit you with a huge amount of the mojo that led to this because of your incessant pimping of John Brandon and his program on your various other podcast ventures. And I saw the picture of you with Coach Shields at the bar last night. It looked like he was feeling good. You were obviously feeling good. And
yep.
what just a great moment for that community and that school. I think it's fantastic.
It was pretty surreal, to be quite honest. And just me and Coach Shields, a couple dudes sitting around feeling good. You're right about that.
Couple Latonians just chilling.
Awesome night. And I think that does it for maybe the worst podcast in MusketeerReport.com history. For Dan and the legend, Brian Snow, I'm Rick. Thanks for listening, everyone.